Good morning and welcome to Bowler's Grind. I'm your host, Marshall Kennebrew, and today we have on co-host Kyle Michalowski and myself breaking down his past tournament at the Utah Open and just things that were going on in January, as well as things that we have on our plate in February. We have a couple different tournaments coming up and a couple different new practice habits and routines that we have going on. So we hope you enjoy this one. First thing I want to talk about are just our yearly plans. It's January 28th. We waited till the end of January just to kind of, I got sick for about 2 weeks. And then it just took me a while to kind of get back on the lanes and back to like into my routine. And I lost some strength and just, I was getting fatigued really early. But now I'm back feeling good. So we're here, we're kind of recapping January, talking about maybe any tournaments that we bowled, some goals that we have throughout the rest of this year. I know that we have the national tournament coming up in 2 weeks with ABT and with the TAT. So we're kind of just going to break down the scope of the entire year, talk about things from maybe my perspective and Kyle's, and just kind of catch up on things and where we're at. So Kyle, how you doing? What's some things going on in your mind?
Doing good. Yeah. There's been a whole lot of stuff that happened January. Just, I got stuck in South Dakota leading into the new year, and all a lot of bowling that's been going on. I went to Utah for the Storm Utah Open and bowled that, and I bowled well and bad at the same time. Bowled well up to make the finals, and then in the finals I bowled bad. Not the grand finals, but like the eliminator finals that goes to the grand finals eventually.
So real quick, let's break down how that tournament went then. And what was your look? What balls were you using in the first round? And just what was your take, like just trying to get to the qualifying?
So I was using Idle Helio, standing like 20, throwing it to like 10, and just firing it up there. And it, when my ball started rolling out, I moved left and got around it a little bit more. If that didn't work, then I switched to the High Road Max. And that was basically the whole situation that I used for qualifying. I tried three times. First time I didn't bowl great. Second time I missed by two pins. I went dead even and the cut was plus two. And then I was like, crap, I really need to bowl well tomorrow. And then first game off of and going into the next day was 268. Or 267, it was one of those two. But just straight off the bat, just firing away strikes. And then I shot like 190-20 and was just pulling pretty well, much the same the whole time, just staying within that realm. And then from that, I went into the finals and kind of had the same plan, and it looked good to start off. I shot like a 2-0 something first. Oh, I shot 2-0 dead on, because at the very beginning of the game, it was not actually going very well. And then I recovered and shot back five to shoot 2-0 on the dot.
And in this round, how many people are left, would you say, around?
There was like 100 something or 90 something.
90. Okay. So 90 left. Okay.
And it cut by, I think it cut in half if I survived the next round, or cut in a third. And so I shot 200 on the dot. And then I go into the next game, and the whole weekend I didn't have this problem, but there was an out of bounds on the next pair. And I thought it was just my ball rolling out. My friend was trying to help me. Anthony Chin was trying to tell me that there was an out of bounds there. But I kept thinking it was my ball rolling out, which was, it was really tough to see just because of how my ball roll was and how I wasn't playing very steep or anything. But it just kept going long. And then I kept trying to do things. And then like I missed a little left that made me think Maybe it's not an out of bounds, I'm just missing. And
So real quick, I want to ask you a question there. So when you have like an out of bounds situation on a sport pattern, particularly, do you find that it is something that you just want to avoid at all costs, or do you feel like there's a way to deal with the out of bounds, whether you can get around it more, or maybe you can get a stronger ball that can just handle it?
well,
Which way do you usually kind of shy?
you have a couple options. So one is if you can get a ball that hooks early enough, and usually this ends up being your thing, that it misses the out of bounds before it gets there. So it just starts hooking before the out of bounds, so it never have to worry about it.
Got it.
Two is you can use the out of bounds as like ultimate hold, but it's really hard for me as a two-hander to do that because I can't get my ball going at such a straight line without it starting to hook too early and just completely missing the head pin left, or just hitting the head pin on the left side and going Brooklyn, which is not ideal, obviously. And then option three is just get way away from it and try not to let your ball get anywhere near it, which is basically jumping left. And that's why on tour you see a lot of guys will just be way left and try to make stay away from that entirely. But into going into the finals, or going into that second game, I had an out of bounds and I just completely did not see it, and I struggled through, and towards the end of the game I realized that it was an out of bounds, and I shot 140 that game. So I was really sweating there. I had to shoot a big game the next game, and first couple shots I checked if there was an out of bounds still because I was still unsure. And the next pair I threw one good, it didn't hook, so I was like, it might be. Then I switched balls, I threw one good and it did hook, so I'm like, okay, maybe I was right, my ball was rolling out. And then I threw that same ball the same way, and then it didn't hook. And I was like, okay, yeah, I got to get out of this. So I moved in and shot like a, I think I shot 190 after that, kind of struggling through. I missed a good amount of spares in this set. But coming from this set, even though, so the ultimate result of this set was that I missed by 5 pins to make the next round.
Damn.
However, since this tournament, I've figured something out in my swing that's at the very bottom. My elbow was kind of getting out at the very bottom. Like through the swing, it would be kind of online, but at the bottom, it would kind of get out. And then I accelerate at the bottom of my swing, which just causes it to spin out, which is causing a majority, if not all, of my spare misses, because ever since then, I've been like 95% on makeable spares. And like that 5% was on the pattern on our Wednesday night league that is so light volume that my ball is literally going halfway down the lane and then straightening out. And I, like, it's so weird because it looks like it's backing up almost because of how it's rolling. And it's like I throw it dead on line where it would normally go, but because it straightens out, it just goes dead straight and then misses it right. And I was like, what? But that's literally been the only night that I've been missing spares. I've had, like, normally I don't have clean sets, or even clean games for that matter. I had two clean sets this week in league, and then the one bad night on the pattern where I just couldn't figure it out. I couldn't strike either on that with the low volume till my teammate told me to move left and try to get around it a little bit and slow hook it. But basically, from that 140 game in Utah, I found out what's wrong with my swing and what's causing my spare issues, which I think is propelling me into being able to compete on higher levels that I feel like I should be able to compete on.
Well, it's good that, I mean, obviously it's not good that, you know, it's unfortunate that it happened in competition, and obviously you want to win and do well and stuff like that, but it's good to always have a takeaway. And again, your spare game is going to be something that keeps you grounded. And I've been messing around with a couple things as well, so I'll get into that, or we can even get into that if you'd like. But yeah, like there's, in my opinion, as long as you're getting comfortable, like taking things away from these competitions, you're always getting better, you know. So at the end of the day, if you become a better spare shooter and you got to move on in advance and you got to travel to Utah, I mean, it's a successful trip. I don't know how the breakdowns were as far as just making it to the next round, but again, like sometimes it's more valuable to have a productive, like, you know, life lesson than just, oh, cool, I had good scores, but then you just always have that, oh, like I don't have to work on anything. I can just kind of take my foot off the gas pedal. And the reality is, like, you want to be the best and you want to bowl against some of the best out there. So there really is no taking your foot off the gas pedal at this point. So that's good on you for finding the things that you can work on. And was there anything else you wanted to add from the Utah Open after that 5-pin shortage on the next round?
No, I'm happy with how I bowled up until that one game, but from that one game birthed basically a whole new game of mine, which is allowing me to shoot spares how I feel I should be shooting spares. And so I think all in all, that trip was pretty successful in terms of that. Obviously, if I made the next round, I would have doubled what I made, which was 140, and it was $70 entry, so I bowled three times, so I was down $70 after cashing, because if but if I made another round, I would have got another 140, which would have put me up $70, but minus travel and all that. So it was a negative trip money wise, but in terms of bowling wise, I think it is going to change my game for the better.
Well, you know, and the cool thing about just you as a bowler and a few bowlers that I know just around the city is that, you know, once you have that information that's like, okay, cool, here's what I need to work on to get better, you actually go out there and work on it. And I can testify on that, just whether it's Monday night, league nights, you're always one of the few, or, you know, maybe there's more that I don't see, but you're up there with just being in the lanes often and you're always working on something. So that's good, because sometimes people get that, oh, I need to work on my drift, or I need to follow through more. And then, you know, life hits and they don't, you know, the work or family, and then it's just the next league. And it's that constant thing that they don't have, that are not making the time to iron out the details. But I know that you are and will continue to do that. So props to you for doing that. And as far as spares go, I want to kind of jump in and talk about spares if you want to kind of tackle that, because I've been changing a few things up with my game. And I don't know if, actually, I don't think I've shown you yet, but I'm excited to get you involved, because I started bowling spares two-handed today. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that, just off the top. I can kind of break it down in a second, though, but I want to hear your thoughts real quick.
Well, I think it's a good choice, especially if you're planning on not doing using your thumb anymore. It does take some time to get used to trying to make your spare ball go dead straight without the thumb, just because your hand naturally comes around it a little bit, so it always has that enough rotation that it makes it impossible to just do what like the one-handers do, where they just go dead end over end, because it having their thumb in it allows them to lock their hand in a position where it goes into that position. But when you're just the two fingers, your hand automatically naturally starts coming around it a little bit, so it's really difficult to get it to not hook very much, which has been something I've been really working on. And I've got it to where like when it does hook, it's only hooking about a board or two, but it's still not like dead straight like the one-handers get.
Yeah, no, and you know, again, like I for a while I was bowling my spares with my thumb in it, but it just felt like, and you know, I was just kind of pucking it forward and palming it forward, and the rotation didn't seem very tight. Like it just seemed like it was, you know, sometimes I pucked it to the right and then it would just go straight to the right, or sometimes I would puck it to the left and go straight to the left. And it just, for me, I feel like I wanted to try out, you know, maybe now that I'm bowling two-handed more often, maybe I'll plug one of the I had an extra spare ball that I purchased a while back, and I was like, maybe I'll just plug that and start shooting two-handed, so I can just build up the stamina of getting lower, and in that release position, and trying to get my palm back, you know, behind the ball, and just not, you know, similar to pucking it with my thumb in it, but having that left hand replace the thumb. So I wanted to see how that was today. So I shot all my spares two-handed, and I feel like it tumbles forward more. I have a little bit more velo. So on the 10 pins and maybe the 9 pin, like just having it go straighter longer, I feel like I had success with that. Whereas I didn't, I feel like I didn't have the same ball speed before. So I was doing really good today. I didn't count the percentage, but unless it was really a split, I was picking them up. And it was the first time really messing around with it. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. I think I was shying away from it because the thought of bowling two-handed at first was like, man, I gotta get low. I don't want to hurt my knee. And I was kind of babying my knee, so anything I could do to like prevent going full time into two-handed was kind of like where my thoughts were. But I don't have any swelling. I've been stretching more. I haven't started doing the knees over toes routine of pulling sleds backwards yet, because if you go to any EOS during busy times, I swear there's always someone on that sled. But I'm gonna try to get there in the mornings, like super early, and just kind of, I'll even post, you know, some videos of just what I'm learning and what I'm doing, and see if that helps with the knee strength as well. But the good news is, learning new things with the spare game. Anything you want to add on that, or anything you just want to talk about? Just any other things you've been working on? Because there's some other things I wanted to discuss in my game, but you can jump in if you'd like.
Oh no, pretty much all there is. I think obviously getting your knees and stuff stronger will help you out, but yeah.
Okay. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, just as far as one of my weaknesses that I feel like I'm getting better at as I force it into just, you know, my practice routine, is playing really, really, really far left and just getting comfortable being over there, opening up my hips more. And lo and behold, it's basically in the same landing spot as where I throw the backup ball. So I kind of found some enjoyment with that, because as I start, you know, I just show up to the lanes now and I'm practicing. I'll just start off, you know, next to the ball return, and I'll say, how do I hit the pocket from here? I got a couple balls, and usually I figure it out pretty early, and then I just try to repeat that shot. And I know that's not maybe how I'm going to want to play at tat, but you go to these house shots and there's this built-in hook, and I find that as an opportunity to work on something that I'm not good at. There is no longer game works, so I can't just go and bring my pitch black and tank and play to the right and just, you know, work on that. The only time I can really do that is on Monday nights. I don't know what your recommendations are as far as prepping for tat, if I'm going to be using urethane, if I should just kind of get back to that routine, or if I should just continue working on my weaknesses. But I've found success working on it. And yeah, I'm excited to start bowling more house shot tournaments and subbing more often, because I struggled at house shots more than I do sport. So now that I'm trying to level those out a little bit, I'm excited about that.
Yeah. So yeah, tat would definitely be urethane, straighter. It might play a little, you might need to play left, but it's basically gonna be a flat hard pattern, so
Okay. So when you go and bowl on house shots, like to practice, let's say, and do you bring your urethane and just say, I know this is a house shot, but I'm going to play it far. Like, does urethane play well on house shots when you're trying to force it into that friction?
So if I were to use urethane on a house shot, which I normally don't, but when I do it, I would usually stand in the middle of the lane and I can just throw it right and it just slowly bleeds off of the friction and just carries into the pocket. But if I too far right with urethane on a house shot, that's how I sometimes figure out if patterns where people say they're pattern, but it ends up being basically a house shot. When I'm throwing urethane on the gutter and it hooks up my feet, that usually tells me it's a house shot. Just because the friction's so much that it just makes the urethane start moving off my hand.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so I'll just stand in the middle of the lane and throw it towards that. So once it gets to it, it just slowly rolls its way into the pocket.
Okay, that makes sense. So, like, what is today, the 28th? And when does Tat start? Is it the 9th? Is that correct?
Tet starts the 7th.
The 7th. Okay, so. I don't know. We're bowling on the first, second, or third day, but we got about what 10 days before that starts, and so then I think I'm gonna kind of migrate back to the right the next time I go, which I think will be maybe Monday, and just play whatever. I know they're gonna have what is it, two short patterns, or I think he said a short and a long this next Monday. Do you know what he said?
I think short and long is what he said, but I can't remember exactly.
Okay, so short and a long. I'm gonna bring my half, at least half urethane, and really just get comfortable playing far right with the two-handed game and picking up my spares two-handed. I think that'll be a good way to kind of gear up for the tournament coming up in 10 days. And then I think one thing too that was kind of cool that we did this past Monday, at least from my perspective, was. Sometimes I just get in the habit of shooting shots and playing by feel and trying to hit the pocket and just watching my feet. But, you know, I'll lose sight on how important seeing your spare ball go through the pins, you know, one or two, whatever it is. Like just seeing it go through and hit and walk back and going through that routine. So I was having a little trouble first hour finding what was going on. With that pattern, I think the name of the pattern was "You're not as good as you think you are," and that was definitely the realization that I was understanding and feeling because I was either miss left, miss right, change ball, move back, move forward. I was struggling to find out what was, you know, what was the best situation for me, and looking at the eyes of everyone else, it was kind of funny because I saw a lot of shrugging heads and hands going up and everyone eye rolling, so it. Made me feel a little bit better that, you know, everyone was struggling. But until I kind of created a game with you, which was just, hey, let's just count how many marks in a row. Let's just, you know, spares count as one, strikes count as two, whatever. If, as long as it's a mark, we'll just see how many we can get as a streak. And we'll, you know, put like, you know, the next practice we have on the line or something like that. And you just started, you know, obviously marking, marking, marking. I think you got it up to like 10 or 12. Was that right?
I think 10, and then I kind of checked out because I was just messing around with the other guys there. But yeah, that's part of the thing with the spares that my from Utah is that just it's allowed me to just start doing that, and then if I as long as I don't throw like a really bad shot that could split, I'm gonna be closing frames.
Right. Yep. And sometimes I lose sight of that, especially on sport pattern. You know, everyone wants to see the strike and you want to blow up the pins. But when you get back into that frame of, okay, this is a hard pattern. Let me get nine. Let me get in the pocket. Let me pick up my spares. Okay, cool. I got five in a row, six in a row, seven in a row. I forgot about the, oh, I need to strike mindset. And I was just content with the fact that I was marking. And I got close. I think I got up to eight. Or something like that. And I thought I was going to get you, but then I think I just had a split or something happened and I lost it. But it felt good to put myself in that frame of connecting them together is very important. And having that routine, a part of your practice, is something that at least gets me focused. So that was good. I don't know if there's anything you had or any takeaways you had from Monday night sport pattern practice.
I was really focused on the one pattern, the one that you were talking about, and just trying to figure out, 'cause like I was getting to the point where I could strike like two times in a row, but after that it kind of like changed on me. So I had to find a line, and I kind of got like a straighter, closer to the pocket, just staying behind the ball, just not letting it do a whole lot so that it would give it a chance to strike, and that was my best look. And then it changed on me again, so it was pretty hard to keep striking on that pattern.
Yeah, and you kind of calmed me down because you're like a 220 plus bowler on house shots, and you were saying that you typically bowl like 170 on that pattern. So although that did not give me an excuse to, I still had to figure it out. It just kind of reminded me that sometimes patterns are tough, and it's better just to continually figure it out than just to say I don't get it, And once I changed my mindset, I felt like I had a better second half of the practice, and I started striking a lot. Once you were over on the other side, I felt like I just moved right. I said, I'm gonna keep the pocket in front of me and not give away the pocket, and just see if I can find a wrist position where everything's in front of me and can tumble forward. And it worked. I had like six strikes in a row, so I felt good about that. As far as just getting ready for tack goes, I know Edwin was mentioning, he goes, I guess we both mentioned to him at separate occasions that we were looking for a really tough pattern or something to match the upcoming tat tournament. So he put that out for us, and he said, yeah, if you guys can spare this up and strike occasion on this, you'll be ready for tat. He's like, so that was good. I think it was a good takeaway, and I'm excited for next Monday. But was there anything else you had on your mind? Finishing out January as we head into February, any goals you have in mind or things you're looking to accomplish in the next month or so?
So next month I basically want to take it one step at a time, but in February I have two tournaments. One is TAT, and well, technically three. One is TAT, and then one is the PBA non-champs and the PBA member non-member that'll be bowling with Renee Aberto, and I'm hoping that I can do pretty well. Last time I bowled a regional on the pattern that we're bowling on, I missed the cut by a spare for cashing. So what I'm hoping is now that my spare game's in line, because obviously there was a lot more than just one missed spare in that set, but now that my spare game's in line, I'm hoping that one, it'll give me more confidence so I can strike a few more times and not be worried about not striking. And two, it will keep my scores higher, which will allow me to stay in it and hopefully be able to compete high enough to make the sh or make the finals. What they do is top 16 after 8 games of qualifying go to a single elimination finals where you bowl 5 games against a random draw opponent and loser is out.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So I'm excited. I'm hoping that, and that's next week, the week before TAT. So I'm hoping I can bowl well there. And then obviously if I bowl well there, I think it'll translate over to TAT. But so I'm just taking it one thing at a time. I'm just gonna try to conquer everything. I need to get some practice in. I think right now my spares are in order, and I think this next Monday, I'm going to practice striking. So I'm just going to try to streak as many strikes as I can. Just keep go resetting after I miss one. So I'll shoot as many as I can, and then when I miss, I'll shoot the spare and then start over and just try to consistently get the strikes and try to string as many as possible, and then try to stay in front of my moves so I can understand how my transition works, and then add that to whatever other people are bowling so it'll be a little easier to understand. But yeah, that's my plan.
Perfect, perfect. For me, I know we have the is the big Kahuna next month, or what month is that?
Yeah, that's February as well. I think it's
So
later in the month.
I'm signed up for the big Kahuna, and I'm signed up for the USBC Nationals, but that's not for a couple months. So February, the only thing I have is the big Kahuna, TAT, ABT. And making sure that, like I said, my body's ready for all that. I know those games add up quick, and I feel good now. And I want to, like I said, I just left Costco. I bought a bunch of just random hydration stuff and just some random food. That way, I can just start really prepping food the next 2 weeks and feeling good, having good energy, good stamina. Like those are things that I try to focus on. You know, they're things that are in my control that if I really excel on. I typically feel better and I'm not as anxious. You know, sometimes when I eat kind of crappy and I go and bowl, I feel like the highs and lows are more spiky. So, again, that's maybe not really a bowling topic, but I kind of think it is. I think having energy and feeling good and, you know, not cramping, you know, I'm gonna eat more avocados. Those are good if you're dealing with cramps and stuff like that. You know, I don't know how serious all bowlers take that, but I take it pretty serious, especially when I'm really trying to rev up and get mental clarity and get kind of rid of some of that brain fog that we deal with, maybe in the bowling alley or outside the bowling alley. So I feel like I'm ready just with the bowling routine, gym routine, and eating routine. So other than that, I'm not really looking to add anything. I'm just really looking to fine tune what is already in place. So I'm excited about February. I have good high hopes for both of us. I think we're going to do well in whatever we partake in. And unless you have anything else you want to add, that is going to be what we had for tonight.
That's everything. Thank you, guys.
All right, cool, man. Have a good night.
Good night.
Hey guys, thanks for making it all the way to the end of the podcast. If you took the time to do that, I hope there was something informative or helpful that we kind of discussed along the way, because I know sometimes we start these conversations and midway through we're in a different direction and we're talking about something that, you know, we did not plan on going over, but it actually helps us because along the way we find these little nuggets of information. So we hope that these are helpful for not only ourselves, but for you guys. And hope you have a great week.